Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the weekly weather for November 29th, the week of November 29th, 2010. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan talking to you after a lovely Thanksgiving Day holiday. I was off last week in South Carolina visiting the relatives, eating lots of food, walking on the beach, enjoying South Carolina weather. It was very cool. And now back in New York, where we have temperatures approaching winter finally. Not cold, but we're finally getting a little fall action here. And we are moving forward this week into November, the last week of November and the first few days of December, with the sun in Sagittarius, fire. And Venus starts to move forward. She's moving back into Scorpio tomorrow and getting more passionate and illumined and whatever for her last pass through the early degrees of Scorpio, where she's going to remind us of what we've been working on since September, and she's going to help us get clear on it. And then we also have Uranus stationing this week, which is always exciting when Uranus stops in the sky. And we have a bunch of other really interesting aspects with Mercury teaching us, talking to us, communicating with us as he enters Capricorn. So we can anticipate quite a lot of activity this week, particularly around money and finances, communication issues, and our understanding of why we're here. We also have, when Mercury enters the sign of Capricorn, moving as he does from Sagittarius, where he's very communicative and very chatty, when he enters Capricorn, he gets very serious and straightforward, and he also is on what's called the world axis. So we can expect really interesting news on November 30th about things that we've maybe not dealt with or things that we need to step up and deal with better. And on the 29th, when Venus dives into Scorpio, he and Mercury and Venus are talking to each other by a sextile. So they're also, even though she's in Scorpio, she's saying to Mercury, look, you know, like, I've been talking to you about this stuff, and we got to figure out what's going on here. And so they're having a kind of a conversation because they're so near to each other, and they actually connect and talk to each other by sextile on December 1st. So it's matters of love in the heart, matters of money and finance, matters of things that are of value to us. And as we've been working with Venus retrograde, this is her third and final pass through those early degrees of Scorpio. She's going to be talking to us a lot about what it is we actually really want. And part of her journey, when she's been in the passionate place of Scorpio, is to say to us, so is that really what you were looking for? And you've been kind of working it out, you know, over the last few months. And now she's going to come back through and say, okay, I'm putting the order in now with the big guys. I'm going forward. I'm going to go catch up with everybody. I've turned into a morning warrior goddess. I rise before the sun now. And my job as I rise before the sun is to say to everybody behind me, what do you want? What are you looking for? And as I catch up with Mercury, not 100% because I catch up with him by sextile, but as I catch up with him, let me communicate on a different level what the story is, how it works. And so we watch that transformation that she undergoes this week. And that they both undergo. Plus, Uranus stops. Now, Uranus stopped 6 months ago to go backwards. Now he's stopping to go forwards again. And when he paused and he said, oh, wait, not quite ready to go forward, well, maybe, no. He stationed at very early degrees of Aries. He stationed at zero Aries. And he said, I thought about it, but I'm not ready. And now he's going to start going, and he went back into Pisces to repeat the journey. And now he's going to start going forward. So he's stationing on the 5th at 26 Pisces. And when he stations, you know, whenever a planet stations, we notice it. Because when they stop, we feel it. It's like holding your breath. When you stop breathing, you kind of, you know, you eventually go, wait, I have to breathe again. So Uranus has stopped all this week. So things will come to light. Things will surface. Explosions will happen, things that we need to see will be seen as it kind of looms out of the ocean. Because remember, Uranus is in the sign of the oceans. So whenever Uranus stops, we can expect earthquakes, we can expect tsunamis, we can expect hurricanes, we can expect explosions, Uranus, of a watery nature. So if you've got a dishwasher or a fluid thing that's not working well, expect it to start to act up and be a little cranky as it goes, I'm not in the mood to work anymore. Or water heater pipes, you know, things like that, because Uranus in water is explosions around water, okay, or separations and, you know, energy separating around water, Pisces, energy separating around the ocean. We can anticipate last time he stopped in Pisces, we had a big chunk fall off a glacier into the sea. It'll be news about the sea. It'll be news about unusual separations. It will be releases, certainly the proposed WikiLeaks thing about what we've been talking about behind scenes and diplomatic channels. Getting leaked this week is certainly an energy of that story. It also is, we're in a time now when Venus goes forward for her third time through this path of fire. She is very clear, even if we're not, she's clear about what she needs. And she's going to be talking to us and helping us get more clear in very practical, down-to-earth communication ways as she comes to talk to Mercury this week and says to us, do you understand how this has been created? And now that you know how you've created this through your patterns, through your behaviors, through your whatever, now you have an opportunity to change it if you would like to. If you don't want to, that's okay too, but you're going to continue to create more of the same if you fail to change your behavior. And I think one of the things that we're looking at this week, especially the beginning part of the week, when Venus dives into Scorpio at the same time that Pallas talks to the goddess of discord, Eris, we're going to look and see how our patterns contribute to creating the discord in our life. And we have to own it on some level, or we have to change it. Or we can continue to live in discord, which is always, of course, an option. But part of what we're doing here is saying, okay, what am I actually trying to accomplish by this? Why am I doing this? Do I want to continue to do this? What does this look like? What's my commitment to this? Yes, no, maybe. Okay? And I think that's really the key for this week, because Pallas is going to be working with Eris where we get irritated, where we are irritated, where we really don't want to. And she's also going to be working with Juno. We're saying to you, well, what are you partnering with here? Why are you partnering with that if you don't want that? And we have to answer that question. Why are we partnering with something if we don't want it? What has it given us? If we're unhappy with the situation, Eris, trying to get discard, do we see how our unhappiness has caused it to happen? Then the next part she says is, okay, and if you're unhappy with it, how do you change it? And that's when Venus going into Scorpio says, this is how you change it. See how you're unhappy? This is how you shift it. And all doesn't have to be a major shift. You know, I was out to dinner tonight with a good friend of mine, and we've been playing bridge recently. And we got into a little excitement the last couple times we played. So Lori was like, all right, we're going to review our bidding techniques. I'm like, okay, fine. So she picks this very lovely restaurant. I bring my bidding book with me. We're sitting at the restaurant. She goes, we'll look at that later. I'm like, okay. So we had a lovely meal. And she's like, okay, this is your dinner, you know, your Christmas present. I'm like, oh, that's really nice of you. Thank you very much. But I thought we were going to review our bidding techniques. She's like, well, yeah, but, and we like playing together because we like hanging out and doing things. But we get into adventure. And she's, you know, she was like, well, I want to be better at it. But I also, she said, but you like playing in those open games where we play against, like, world-class bridge players. And I am a little competitive thing, and I do like playing in the open games, but I'm sure perfectly willing to just play regular bridge, you know, rubber bridge. And so then we came back to my house, and we were sitting looking at the bridge book, and figuring out practicing our bidding techniques. And it was kind of like, okay, well, if we're going to play with the big guys, we have to get our bids in order. If we're not going to play with the big guys, then we can just play bridge and not care and just go find a rubber game someplace rather than a duplicate open game where we've been getting our butts kicked. People are very happy when they sit at our table because they get a top board, but we're not so happy. And so it was an interesting, so it's like, okay, how are we going to change the pattern to relieve the discord? Or are we? Are we going to leave it the same? It's perfectly fine the way it is. I don't really care if we lose. I like playing. you know, and I always learn something anyway. But she doesn't like to lose. And so it's like, all right, well, I'm looking at it as entertainment. But she's like, well, if we're going to play, we have to get better. I'm like, okay, we can. But then it means we have to study. We have to change the nature of our partnership with, oh, well, whatever I felt like bidding, as opposed to we both know what we're bidding at all times. And so it was kind of an interesting way to reflect this energy. And also, whatever else you're trying to change in your life. You're too fat. You realized at Thanksgiving that you didn't fit in your winter coat. Well, you've been eating a little too much. Okay, so maybe you need to change your things. You went for Thanksgiving and you realized you really hate your Aunt Agnes. You just don't want to talk to her anymore. And she always calls you and says nasty things to you. You have to change that pattern. It isn't hard. They're not going to change. You're the one that has to change. Or you have to partner with change in a new way. And this week is when the universe comes to us and says, what do you want to partner with? What makes you happy? Because Mercury sextiles Venus in Capricorn, and he says, do you want to keep doing this? And if you do, what is that going to look like? Now, I will tell you, once Mercury partners with Capricorn, in a couple weeks, he's going to station and go retrograde. Okay, so he's, you know, he's in his shadow right now. He's not necessarily finished with this whole thing in terms of how it's actually going to lay out. But he is saying to you, well, with all practical nature aside, we have to be aware of how we're going to partner here. And so your job is to say, got it, I'm ready, I understand how I'm going to partner, I understand what I want to do. I may not have it all right down yet, but I understand the revisions or the desired changes that are needed, and I'm willing to make those changes. And then with that in mind, that's what the purpose of this week is. So it is a very, very busy week here on planet Earth because we have all these changes that are going to be pushing us and kicking our butt and saying to us, get ready to go, rockin'. We are having some change. All right, so first up, we'll just kind of go through them in order in terms of how they happen. Sun doesn't have a whole lot of aspects. He does have a sesquiquadrate to Zeus, or to Vulcanus, I'm sorry, on the 3rd, suggesting you get a burst of energy. But he's basically pretty quiet. And for those of you who don't know Vulcanus is, it's a trans-Neptunian point, which I happen to like, but other people don't use them, so we'll just kind of throw that in, you know, minor point. Mercury busy. Mercury enters Capricorn on the 30th, which is Tuesday. And he has an opposition to Hades saying, I have to change things. I have to separate. I have to transform how I've been communicating with stuff, separate from the old patterns. He has a positive aspect to Venus, sextile, saying to her, okay, Venus, what do you want to do? Where are we going? What's new? The two of them are talking to each other while Mercury is on what's called the world axis, meaning whatever the conversations are, very, very important on December 1st. Then Mercury dives into the north node of destiny, and onto Pluto on the 3rd and the 5th. So we can expect some mighty powerful conversations about the direction of our life and where we are headed. This is very big news week. Mercury on the world axis aspecting Venus and Mercury on the north node of destiny and on Pluto. We can expect really important communications. We need to pay attention to what happens this week. Now we are in Mercury's shadow, getting ready for a retrograde in December. So this also is the week when your computer will give you a little burp if it's going to break down on the Mercury retrograde. If your car growls with you on the 1st or the 3rd or the 5th, your car is going to give you trouble on Mercury retrograde. If your answering phone starts answering strange, your electronic cell phone, this is the warning of the Mercury retrograde. This is the planet that's going to go, this is the apparatus that's going to have trouble. Back up your computer this time, because Mercury coming to the north node in Pluto, this is a wicked Mercury retrograde. It goes over the world axis 3 times, so it's a big one. We're going to be learning lots of exciting things, and of course Mercury on the north node certainly qualifies with the WikiLeaks from the State Department. Next up, we have Venus going into Scorpio, and when she goes into Scorpio, she forms part 3 of her journey through Scorpio, the Via Combusta, back into the swamp again for one more time. And then she has a sextile to the north node, giving herself permission to transform and change. And also she understands why she's been roaming in the swamp all summer long, or all fall long, because she has been. She's been roaming in the swamp, and she's getting out of the swamp starting this week, which is, I mean, she's getting back into the swamp for one last swim through it, then she gets out. All right, then Mars. Mars has a square to Jupiter on the 29th, which is an overdoing energy. Mars is in Sag, Jupiter's in Pisces. This is an overdoing thing. Everybody's doing things for righteousness or because they believe it's right or because they think they're perfect. And Mars is also in conjunct Admetos, saying, please don't do that. Please end this. Please stop this. So Mars in conjunct Admetos is a health aspect, so health overdoing issues can happen. This is also a great time to start a diet because he's pushing on that, or at least to make a plan for how you're going to approach the holiday season with the food stuff. Mars to Admetos also is an ending of something on December 2nd, and probably an friendly ending, because it's an inconjunct and it's not a pleasant aspect. So Mars and Admetos is an end to things. So it was funny, a couple weeks ago, Mercury aspected Admetos. And, I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny. Mercury, Admetos, Mercury's communication, Admetos is the end of. Mars, Admetos is the end of the man, the end of the male, the end of the Mars and Sag energy, the end of the publishing. So the WikiLeaks guy could have some problem this week with that, certainly because he's publishing. But in last couple of weeks ago, when Mercury hit Admetos, the 21st, my assistant Melissa had brought her computer, her hard disk died. She had a little problem. She walked into the Apple store, and she said it was like a steady stream of people coming in with Mercury Admetos, the end of their hard drives. So Mars in Admetos is the end of the action, the end of the movement, the end of the taking forward. So it's a big, it's a biggie. It's the end of the overdoing. It wants to stop. Mars also is sextile to Neptune and Chiron on the 2nd and the 3rd, saying, gee, wow, this is really big. It's also square to Uranus, and Uranus is stationing. So we'll talk about that in a second. But Mars square Uranus is sudden and unexpected explosions, eruptions, breakthroughs. And it also is aspecting Saturn, saying it is a gift, but it's a transformative gift. And then we also have Jupiter, square to the moon energy. So Jupiter wants to really create this week. Saturn's not doing much of anything. He's just kind of roaming around at 14. If you have stuff at 14, you're going to feel him, but if not, no biggie. And Uranus is stationing on the 5th, which means that, which is Saturday, which means that the transformation we're going to start feeling on the 29th, 30th, 31st, because the 4 or 5 days before the Uranus stations, to go direct, we feel it as he stops in the sky. And that's happening on December 5th. So that's kind of big, and a forward motion from that. Also, with Mars aspecting him and with, you know, his stopping in the sky, in water, we can really anticipate transformational change, because Uranus in Pisces, Pisces being the ocean, Uranus being explosions. It's a biggie. So it's a big week. It's kind of one of those weeks. And then Vesta on to, Vesta is entering Sagittarius. Vesta is the home and the hearth, where we actually start saying, okay, I'm moving forward towards this to be my new home. And then the rest of the planets are all pretty quiet. Kronos stations, but I don't think that's huge. Yeah, okay. Hades stations, I'm sorry. He stations on the 2nd. So, but with Uranus stationing and with these other planets aspecting each other, and Mars aspecting Jupiter and Uranus, we can expect, because Mars is in a very direct, straightforward, you know, Sagittarius sign where he kind of says what he does or does what he says, or he just kind of does things and doesn't really even think about it. So the actions that we can take this week can be a little over the top. You can be in the mood to have a fight with someone because Sagittarius is like, well, I'm right, they're wrong, let me fight with them. And it's like, think about it. Do you really want to get there? Do you really want to go there? And with the square to Uranus and to Jupiter, it can really escalate very quickly as Mars squares those points between the 29th and the 3rd. Because he's in the mood for a fight, and he's been fueled. So he gets the fuel on the 29th, Monday, and he's in the mood to have the explosion on the 3rd, and at the same time, Uranus is stopping. So this is particularly volatile. Now, in terms of the stock market, this is the time period where the people were talking about the market having a crash, and we've been kind of watching. So last week we had Russia and China agree to take themselves off the U.S. currency and to stop using the currency as the vehicle of trade. So back in World War II, after World War II, the U.S. dollar became the standard in the world for the point of trade. Now, a few years back under the Bush administration, we stopped publishing the M3, which is the number of dollars in circulation. We continue to have high exports. We continue to have high debt and trade imbalances. China carries an enormous amount of our debt. But what happens is when people do trading between each other, they trade in dollars. It's considered the universal safe currency because the United States is solvent and yada yada and all that cool stuff. And the euro was postulated as being a possibility for people to use as a trade vehicle. And it's having trouble because of the number of the European Union countries that are having trouble. So now this last week on the 24th or whatever it was when I was down in South Carolina, Russia and China decided to trade with each other without using it in currency. So what would happen is if you bought $100, Russians would buy $100 of U.S. dollars, and then they would buy something for $80 from China, and then they would have $20 in U.S. dollars. And now they're saying, well, no, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to go right to China and trade with them directly. I'm not going to use the U.S. as the bank anymore. I'm not going to use U.S. currency as the bank anymore. I don't care. I can just deal with them directly. And Russia and China are both seeking to do this with a number of other countries. Now, when Saddam Hussein was looking to take his oil exchange off of U.S. dollar and just trade it in basras, or however you say the currency name in Iraq, that was one of the motivations for us going in and invading Iraq. It was because he was going to take the oil he sold out of dollars. And by being in dollars, everybody has to go to dollars to trade, and if they have excess dollars, we benefit here as in the United States. So last week, China said, nah, not going to do that anymore. Russia said, nah, we're just going to trade with each other. We don't need to go and use the U.S. dollars as a middleman for a few reasons. And Putin said he was going to do this back in 2006, so he's been gradually getting it ready. But they signed a 12-point trade agreement. If people don't buy U.S. dollars, meaning they have an extra $10,000 and they buy a treasury bond, we aren't going to have any money to service our debt. We're not going to have the ability to sell bonds that service our debt. And we're not going to be able to print the money, the volumes of money that we've been printing. So this is actually a really big deal. Now, because this was announced on the 24th, which was Thanksgiving, it wasn't really processed by the U.S. markets. And on Friday, the 26th, was a short day of trading. So the dollar got a little, the stuff got a little hinky then. But I think as the nature of these trade agreements rolls out over the next few weeks, over the next week or so, with the WikiLeaks happening at the same time, this is Mars squared Jupiter Neptune. This has actually got Mars squared Jupiter Uranus. This actually has a much bigger impact across the board than we would maybe like to think it has. So it'll be interesting to see this week what happens with the stock market, because this is the last week for it. When Uranus goes direct, we're anticipating the astrologers were all kind of looking at May, and that's when China made noise about not buying any more debt. Nothing happened. We had the flash crash. Then in February or in August, everybody, big T-square, get excited, get excited. Nothing really happened. It was kind of quiet. Well, this is kind of big. So we'll see if the markets respond to this. We also have the bailout of Ireland going on at the same time, indicating that the euro is not necessarily a stable currency. And we have Mercury heading into Capricorn, hitting that north node, hitting that Pluto. So watch the news. Watch for the economic news that gets released this week under this aspect, because it's really important for all of us, because it's going to talk a lot about where we're going and what we're doing. In my position, I'm in a lot of cash and I'm in gold. I'm not in a lot of market stuff just because I don't think it's particularly safe or stable. So be conservative in your investments if you're in the market at all. Whatever. All right. So anyway, that's the focus for the week. We're going to watch that story unfold And we're working with it in terms of the energy and how it lays out. And also with Mars squaring Jupiter and Uranus, that's kind of, and then Sag is excess. Sag is over the top, kind of a wild, crazy kind of energy. At the same time, Mercury and Venus are saying, we're not so interested in the wild and crazy energy. The moon this week, Monday's moon is in Virgo, the 29th. So Monday, the closing aspect is moon square Mercury. So it's interesting news that's very intense in nature. Then we go to Tuesday, the 30th, moon is in Libra. And the moon in Libra is got a closing aspect of a trine to Neptune on Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's generally positive information or upbeat kind of news or, you know, flowing. Then Thursday, Friday, the moon goes into Scorpio and with a closing aspect of a square to Neptune. No, closing aspect of a trine to Neptune. Again, kind of shifting, moving. And then we have the Mars square Neptune, the Mars sextile Neptune. It's a big week. Mars taking a lot of action. And then we have a new moon on the 6th in Sag. That's next Sunday. On the 5th, rather, in Sag, on the same day that Uranus stations direct. And the Sag moon has an occultation with Mars, and a conjunction is the final aspect. So Mars is the planet to watch this week. Now, Mars in Sagittarius is righteous. So we're having a lot of Mars activity. So this is the week where you can be irritated, annoyed, cranky, whatever, but it's Sagittarius. It's also looking for a vision. So your job is to take the cranky, irritated stuff and point it outward. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Aim it at the world, at the things you can accomplish. Don't aim it at the people that are getting on your nerves, even if they're really getting on your nerves. Aim it forward. Aim it towards your vision. You cannot necessarily change the things that you're in, but you can change where you're headed by changing your direction and moving and focusing more on those. And that's really the best way to use this Mars and Sag week. It's fueled by a lot of stuff, fueled by the vision, fueled by the ideas, fueled by sense of overdoing. Sagittarius can be self-righteous. If you find yourself getting really, I'm right and you're wrong, just kind of take all that, I'm right, you're wrong, and send that energy into another place. So when, again, back to dinner tonight, when I was talking to Lori, I was talking about a situation in my life, and she said, well, you know, Ian, I've noticed when you get into that place, you get into kind of a negative head, and you get kind of a lower form energy. And I said, I hadn't really thought about that, but you know, you're right, I do. It brings out the worst in my, not that, like when you're better behaved than when you're not better behaved, but it brings out a darker side, right? I said, you know, you're right. It does bring out a darker side of me. Instead of being optimistic, that part makes me get kind of like a little crazy, and I get like I have to do something, as opposed to saying, forward, what's your focus? Where are you going? What's your vision? Instead of turning and playing in that place, staying in that energy, turn the energy out. Go towards your vision. And I said, that's a really good point. Why am I letting that be defined by someone else? Let me take my energy and shoot it where I want it to go rather than being held back or defined by someone coming to me and saying, this is how it has to be. That's also Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the higher visionary point of us that focuses us towards the greater good. This week, it's going to run into some kind of problem in what the terms of what the greater good is. It's going to look at the greater good and say, well, I don't know if I agree with that being the greater good. That may be your greater good, but that's not my greater good. Instead of getting into a power struggle with the person about it, take the energy, turn and aim it towards where you're headed. What's your vision? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? What's your point? And if you shoot it that way, it helps. It'll help you redirect it. So when she said it to me, I was listening to her and I'm like, you know, you're right. It really does get me onto my lower form of energy. Brings out kind of a, and I don't like that space. And I don't really want to live in that space. But if I hang out in that environment, I get into that space. So I probably shouldn't hang out in that environment because it stirs me up. And if I take that energy and direct it, it can go somewhere else that's really very positive and out of that realm. That's what you want to do this week. Out of the realm you're in, aim your arrow towards something else. Shoot towards your vision, your dreams. Don't shoot towards the people that you think are blocking you. You don't actually have to kill them off. You just have to redirect your energy and move it out. You have to change the pattern. You have to break free of the struggle. You have to say, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. I figured it out. It's a great idea, but that's not important to me. What's important to me is this other thing. And if you know what's truly important to you, which is what Venus has been going backwards and asking you all fall, is this really important to you? If you can look and say, no, it really isn't. Well, it is important to me because of this, this, and this. Then you have to say, okay, it's important to you because of that, that, and that. Is this something you're ever going to get? And probably not from the situation that you're looking at. Like, it's really, really important to you that you be recognized and honored. Is that person capable of doing that? No. Okay, if they're not capable of doing that, direct it somewhere else. Take that energy of yours. And instead of staying in the struggle, shoot that arrow high. Give that Sagittarius Mars a vision to go for and go do it. Go conquer that vision. Go towards that energy. Instead of staying in the muck and the mire and wrestling with the alligator, you know, punch the alligator in the nose, crawl ashore, dry off, and leave. And go do what your vision is rather than their vision or struggling with them over whose vision is right. You know, this is one of those moments in time where separation is needed. So my favorite therapist at one point said to me, this sounds like a new organization is forming, you know, like when we were talking about something. And I'm like, oh. She goes, well, you know, the new organization gets mad at the old organization. And they just get really disgusted with them. And they say, okay, let's come up with a new vision of how we're going to do this. And we go forward. And I'm like, wow, okay. But a lot of times the new vision is created out of the old vision having a problem. And that's where we are this week. The new vision has a problem. The old vision has a problem. The new vision is getting created out of it. And if we know that, and we know that the beginning of the week is a little exciting, and then we have that Uranus station. Once that Uranus pivots and goes direct, it's straight into Aries, man. We are full steam ahead. No stops. No stops at all. All right, so we'll take some callers. I didn't have any emails, but I do see some callers on the line. If you want me to call you, you have to press 1, and then you raise your little red hand. And then I can see your phone number, but if you haven't raised your red hand, I'm not going to call on you. So that makes sense? So press 1 to make you raise your hand. Hi, 503. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Did you have a question?
Yes, I just was wondering if you would take a look at my chart and what you see coming up in the next.
Okay. Any particular area? What's your birthday?
It's March 4th, 1975.
Okay. What time?
4 p.m.
4 p.m.
on the West Coast. It was 4:11 actually.
4:11. Mm-hmm. And where on the West Coast?
In Oregon.
Okay. What city?
Albany.
Okay. Albany, Oregon. Linn County. Okay. And what was your question?
Well, can you look at maybe what's coming up for me relationship-wise?
Okay. What's coming up for you? So March 4th, 75 in Albany. All right. Relationship-wise, you've got Aquarius on the 7th house, so you tend to have unusual relationships. And right now, I think I'm hearing a little feedback. Can you turn down the radio? Turn down the show? No? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't actually have it on.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. I'm just hearing the weird echo. All right, cool. So Uranus in this, you know, Uranus rules the 7th. So your chart tends towards unusual relationships anyway, you know, or relationships mm-hmm. that are, you know, you kind of get in them and define. In about 3 months, your progressed moon changes and finishes a new cycle and goes into a new sign, which will actually be much easier relationship than it's been the last 30 months or so. And you enter a period in about 8 months from now where I would expect you to really be in a very serious relationship that's got a creative component to it, probably with someone with a Pisces-Aries mix. And one of the things to watch with your chart is, with that Mercury in the 7th house and the Aquarius in the 7th house, is really being clear about what you're looking for in relationship. And part of your chart gets nervous when it gets in one because of the Mars square Uranus. This week, actually, Mars is going to square Uranus in the sky. So it's a really good week for you to sit down and say, okay, what am I looking for in partnership, relationship? What kind of information, what do I want from a partner and a mate? Let me define that and help that come in. The other thing is you're about to have a Jupiter return this week, next week, over the next couple of weeks. And Jupiter for you is an important planet because he rules your house of love affairs, and he also rules your north node of destiny, which is in the house of love given, love received. And your midheaven right now is saying, okay, I'm ready, by progression, it's at 4 Gemini, ready to release old patterns. And so I would really get very clear about what partner looks like. We don't often sit and define that. And in your case, because of the Pisces sun, you're going to often fall in love with the person's soul rather than seeing who they are really. But you had a new moon in the last 14 months or so that said to you, let's look at who they really are. And when that new moon comes to the Jupiter series, I think you may actually meet somebody very significant. And then the progressive moon also comes to your Venus in like 14 months from now, which is really a very important relationship, and in 12 months from now. So you're in orb for it. I think it's coming, but I think what you really want to do is define what you're looking for relationship-wise.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I was just, another thing is I'm going to see an old lover this weekend who's passing through town, and I know it's interesting. The last time I saw him was late June, and which I think right when there was a lunar eclipse, and then I believe that there's another one happening, and I just thought, wow, that's pretty strange that it was exactly like, you know, the last time I saw him was right at the eclipse, and then there's another one.
And there's another one at the end of the week. Plus the new moon at 13,
so
the new moon's at 13 Sag on your sun and your moon.
So what do you think? Do you see anything with that?
Well, the new moon in Sag, part of with the Sag moon, the new moon is on your moon. Your natal moon's 15 Sag, so the sun, the new moon on Sunday, the 5th, is at 12:30 in the afternoon. So that'll be about, I guess, 9:30 in the morning in California time, Oregon time, and so that kind of sets it off and says, okay, look at him clearly. See who he really is. Is this the kind of partner you want? And you've got that moon Neptune, you know, where you kind of fall in love with people that maybe aren't necessarily people that you see really clearly, because the moon squares the sun. So you fall in love with their soul, but you have to look at their behavior. And that's really what this week is for, because you're also having a Mars-Uranus. So watch and see how he shows up. What does he actually do? Is he reliable, dependable? Does he keep his word? And, yes, him coming back again as he comes through town on this eclipse, look clearly, because part of it is for you to look and say, what am I looking for? I'm finishing up a 30-year cycle around relationships where I don't necessarily see people clearly. Is this a person who I'm actually seeing, or do I need to really redefine what I'm looking for? The moon's in the 9th house, so you're up for the second really, really serious big relationship, and this is one of the more important ones in your life. First one was like a test relationship. So if the guy's got a lot of Pisces Aries, it's possible it could be him, but you do want to really look at him and see him for who he is. And that's the most important thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and then in the meantime, I've been in this other relationship with a Scorpio, and that hasn't, I mean, it's been very, a lot of fighting. I don't know.
Well, the Scorpio, again, is your fourth house. They're your mother, okay? They fall in your fourth house, so a Scorpio man is always going to land in your fourth house and has an energy, a lot of helping you work out your mother issues. And we often marry our parents or work with our parents in terms of our partners. We marry our father, we marry our brother. Geminis marry their siblings. So in your case, because your parents didn't necessarily present a balanced relationship to you, as indicated by your sun square, your moon, that says that 13 to 15, there was a lot of activity in the house that was maybe not necessarily easy for you to figure out relationship stuff. The Scorpio's in your fourth, right? And so when you have Scorpio in the fourth, you got to kind of watch the Scorpios because they're in that lighting up it. So this guy is lighting up for you the mother story. But is that what you want to live with for the rest of your life? What kind of relationship do you want? What's your vision?
Okay.
And are they kind? Are they nice people? Your chart is sensitive. You can fight if you need to, but you're a Pisces. You know, Pisces don't really like to live in the world of the fighting. I mean, you can fight because you got Venus and Aries, and you got Mars and Aquarius, so, you know, if you need to, you can, but is that what you want to live with?
Right, and I think that's where I've come.
But
it's funny listening to your show, and then, you know, that's exactly kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Thinking, is this really, okay. So
is
you,
this really what I want, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and get somebody else, but good luck with it. Keep us posted, okay?
Oh,
and
right.
compare and contrast the new guy with the old, and then also say to yourself, what am I looking for? And recognize that people are in the mood this week to really get clear on that. So your job is to say, okay, what is my vision of what love is? And when I'm clear on what love is, then I know what to look for in a partner. And is this what I would call love, or is this more torture? And remember, Scorpios love to test, and no offense to the Scorpios listening, they love to test and see if you really, really love them, because they were not loved as a child. When they first showed up, nobody was paying attention, and they didn't feel like they got enough love. So they're always testing to see if you love them. And on some level, that was your mom's story, you know? So,
right.
So good luck with
it,
okay? All right. Bye. All right. Let's try another caller. Hi, 917. How are you? Oh, you're not there? Okay. Hi, 404. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
Good. Did you have a question?
Yes. Can you look at my chart and tell me when I'm going to fall in love and be in a significant relationship?
Sure. What's your birthday?
2/2/82 at 11:55 a.m.
Where?
Oh, Bronx, New York.
Okay, so February 2, 1982, 11:55 in Bronx. All right, and you want to know when you're going to be in a significant relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Uranus person, too. We're having a Uranus night. Usually there's a theme. So this person, you have Uranus angular also. And you are having Saturn going through your fifth house. So very often when you have your Saturn return, which is happening for you this year, next year, the nature of Saturn comes in, meaning you learn what your Saturn is for, and you have Saturn in the sign of relationships. So I would say you're going to be in a really serious one by next fall, if not sooner. Saturn comes to Mars and stations on your Mars, which is the ruler of your 11th house and also the ruler of your 6th house. So I would watch for the person to come from a work environment, very likely to meet them in a work environment. Right now, the people that you're going to pull in before next fall are kind of more love affair people. They're not necessarily people that you're going to be serious with. You also have Uranus angular, so part of you tend to be attracted to people that like to leave. And so you have to kind of look back at your early childhood stuff, particularly what went on when you were about 4 and a half, and say, what did I learn from the story with my father around the reliability of men? And you want to say, that story was this, and what I'm looking for in a partner is what? And kind of define the two pieces, because the Uranus on the ascendant, on the descendant, the seventh house is our marriage, our perception of our parents' marriage. So it kind of indicates your parents' marriage, what you perceived it as being a little unusual or different, and maybe not real reliable and dependable, because it's Uranus there, which tends to be a little excitable. Now, Uranus is going into fire this year, and it gets as high as 4, trining your Uranus. So you can very much pull in a partner this year, particularly over the summer, once Saturn finishes with your Mars. But I would really encourage you to be very clear about what you're looking for in partner because it's probably not what you saw your parents do. And with an Aquarius sun, you are supposed to go your own way in relationships. You're not necessarily supposed to have the traditional relationship that, quote-unquote, everybody's told they're supposed to have. This chart is got to give itself permission to create the kind of relationships that work for you. And, you know, it's a ripening. So until you really have your Saturn return, which is next year, you're in learning relationship mode. So I would say to you, there's a big one coming, because there always is. Whatever your Saturn is, brings it to you. Probably coming from the workplace. Probably someone who's a little unusual and different. Don't be afraid of that. That's part of what your path is, unusual and different. If we look at your progressed stuff, your your progressed stuff says that emotionally you're about to be ready for it. You're not quite there yet. So don't worry about it. Midheaven comes to Mercury, and that will help, because Mercury is a chart ruler, and then Jupiter is your secondary relationship indicator. So I would say within the next 7 months there's a serious one, but I really want you to have your Saturn return, because I think that'll help you a lot. And that happens starting in the fall, and then you're really ready for – right now you're defining what relationship means. So the people that you pull in, I always think of them as being kind of pump primers, meaning you pull them in and they look really good, but then when you actually get involved with them, you go, no, there's still a problem. Uh-huh. But your progressed Juno, which is a relationship indicator, is opposite your ascendant and moving into orb. So that often brings in marital partner. And you also have your progressed moon in 7 months goes into your second house, which is the house of what's of value to you. And you'll stop kind of fiddling around, and you'll be more interested in settling down in 10 months from now. But 7 months from now, you can conceivably meet the person that you want to hang with, which would be in the summer, August time frame, and then work on it getting serious over the next, from now, 13 months from now, when the progressed moon comes to your progressed ascendant at 2 of Cancer. So that will be in October of 2011, which isn't that far. It feels like a long time, but it goes really fast. At that point, Saturn's on your Mars, which is, I don't want to wander and take my Mars out to play anymore. I want to stay home with you. And the moon is on your ascendant saying, I found a partner. I found someone I want to stay with, and I'm interested in a serious relationship with this partner. And so you've got nice aspects for the fall of 2011. But your job this year, whoever you pull in, they're going to be, is this what I'm looking for? Yes, no, maybe. Is this what I'm looking for? Yes, no, maybe. And really defining what you're looking for relationship-wise is good. And then once Jupiter gets into your first house, which is in June of 2012, I would expect you to be in a really serious and committed relationship, meaning it's about a year and a half out. But that would be the one that you're going to say, I'm settling down with.
So, all right, well.
Because then you've got your...
I'm sorry, and then I've got my...
Pardon?
I was going to say that you have given me something to look forward to.
Yeah, no, definitely. But really, with your chart... You know, again, with Uranus on the 7th, it is also about understanding you have a different definition of what you want in a relationship. So you have to really be clear about what you're looking for, right? And that's the hard part. So it's also saying, what am I actually looking for? And for your chart to really define that helps an enormous amount. And it's not what your family had, not what you've seen modeled. So think of your best friends, the most favorite people that you love and adore, and then write all their characteristics down and say, that's what I'm looking for in a partner. Take best friends, take your dog, take the animals that you hang out with, take, you know, anybody that you've been involved with, the positive qualities, what those were, and kind of construct a vision of what that partner looks like. And that will help a lot, because this chart has a lot of, I don't want to say anxiety about it, but it didn't have it modeled well. What you saw you didn't want, so you have to come up with your version. And Gemini rising is also very indecisive, so it's about also giving it permission to say, I don't really know, but I know it's not this. This is green, so I don't want green. I want another color, but green. You know, you can define through negative. Like, I know I don't want cheap. I want someone who's generous. Okay, what does generous look like? Well, it looks like this, and define it that way. And you do have Venus on the South Node. So for you, relationships are a karmic issue, meaning part of your job in this lifetime is to really define for yourself what is true love. What does that feel like to you? And if you can stand in that place, that helps enormously figure it out. And you're Aquarian, so it's going to be weird from everybody else's version. It has to be your version, not anybody else's. So they'll say, oh, they're such a nice person. You go, I know, but they're not for me. And hold clear with that. Don't settle with this chart, because if you settle, it's not a fun thing. Good?
Good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. All righty. Hi, 913. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Anne. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My birth date is 6/21/57. Kansas City, Missouri.
6/21/1957.
Yeah.
Kansas City. I just met somebody from Kansas City.
Kansas City, Missouri.
And what time?
At 7:51 a.m.
Okay. So June 2/1/57, 7:51, Kansas City, Mo. Okay. And what's the question?
Okay. Overall, when you look at my chart, does it point at any real strength when it comes to career or just overall strength that I can build on to work towards a new way to earn money? I don't know. I'm kind of stuck.
Okay. Well, you have a lot of planets. You know, we look at a chart, we look at quadrants. So if you look at your chart, you've got a lot of planets up 10, 11, 12, the house of working for the collective or working for the world. Okay, so there's a focus on working for the collective or the world. And you have the sun in the 11th house, so that's about working for groups. That's about working with children. That's working as a teacher. Sun is in Gemini, so it's working in communications, writing, working for anything that's ruled by Gemini, which is a wide range of things, telecommunications, any kind of communications, any kind of writing, public relations, you know, advertising, all that kind of stuff. So that's the focus of the chart. Then we have the midheaven in Aries, which says, you know, I have to kind of do my own thing. I have to kind of see the vision, and if I don't feel inspired by it, it's hard for me to stick with it. And then we look at Mars joined to Uranus in the 12th house, which says I can go towards something, but the minute I'm not happy with it or I don't like it, I tend to leave. Or I tend to think, gee, let me leave. Or I commit to it, but then it changes once I get into it. And if you understand that with the Leo rising, that part of what you're here to do is just trust the process and say, okay, what am I looking to do, and am I inspired by it? Because you've got that grand trine in fire that needs to be inspired or it's not able to do it.
Right.
It has to be work that you believe in. So you can't go work for someone that you don't believe in, or you can't go work for a belief. You can't go work for something unless you actually love it or you feel it's of service to the world. And what will happen is your chart will kick you out. The other thing you can say with your chart, because of the way it's set up, is it has in it, you know, it's got that grand trine and fire that says, unless I believe in what I'm doing, I can't do it. The other part is you've got the North Node in Scorpio that says, I want to go and transform things. I'm supposed to go from making a lot of money, South Node in Taurus high, towards being a transformational agent. And if I can see how the work I'm doing transforms someone, it will help. There's an interesting book I was reading over vacation called The Heart Aroused, which talks about how to find your soul in corporate America, how to find the inner poet. You have planets in the 12th house. You are a poet. You have a vision of what's supposed to happen and how it's supposed to happen. And if you can hold in that vision, then your chart's okay. Now you have Pluto in the second, so there's really fear of poverty in this chart. There's also the ability to make lots of money, because Pluto trines your midheaven. but it has to be doing work in service to something you believe in. And if you don't believe in it, it's very hard for you to make money from it. Now, what's going to happen? Huh? You there?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here.
Yep. Okay. What's going to happen as we move into, over the next few months, as, you know, you've got planets that are going to be aspected fairly heavily, or that are being aspected fairly heavily right now by Uranus and Jupiter. Okay, so your Pluto and your Neptune, or Pluto's in the second house of money, Neptune's in the fourth house of home and the housing situation. And Uranus and Jupiter are in conjunct to that right now in the ninth house, saying to you, well, what's your belief? What's your belief? Give us a belief we can believe in. And you also have Uranus and Jupiter squaring your sun, saying, I need you to give me a belief so I can put you in that place. You're having what's called a transiting finger of God. That actually happens this weekend, you know, this week when Uranus stations to go direct, it's really going to vibrate. So it's really about what you believe to be important. And when you were a little kid, what you were told was important is not what you believe is important. So the universe is saying, how do we get you into right livelihood that supports your belief? So what is it that you find it inspires you?
Okay. That has always been, it's like the elusive shadow behind the door, you know. It's like I go off on one tangent and I think I love this and I embrace it and I just go full force, and then all of a sudden I get tired of it and it's like, okay, I can't do that anymore. And so I turn the corner and I go and dabble into something else. It's frustrating.
Why is that wrong?
Well, because it makes it really hard to earn a living when you're, you know, hither and yon. Although I've built a lot of, I don't know, I guess I have more knowledge than I give myself credit for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's marketing myself and figuring out, in a way it feels like being pigeonholed. You know, whenever you have to define yourself, it's like making yourself choose a favorite color or a favorite song or a favorite dance.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
I don't like that, you know, because all of them are nice.
All of them are nice, right. And that's kind of the way your chart is designed. So how can we have, what is it? And see, remember, when we were little, it's like, who's the best? What's the most favorite? What's the prettiest? And your chart goes, hey, everything has value.
Exactly.
I can see goodness. I have a sun. I have a grand trine in fire. I can be inspired by everything. And the minute I lose inspiration, I need to leave.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. That's how you're wired. The key is to find a way to keep yourself inspired. If you're working for a soulless organization where you don't feel your soul is being met, your chart's going to kind of go away.
Exactly.
Because it
needs
to be inspired, huh?
I've been unemployed for 2 years, so, and you know, I'm just living on my reserves right now, and I'm getting antsy.
Well, you're ready to go back to work now, right? Yeah.
Right. Right.
And that's okay. It's like, well, what does good work look like for you? What do you? I mean, think of it. I mean, people kind of go, oh, you know, I've been unemployed. It's like, yep, and that's actually probably a good thing. You had Saturn hit your Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter is your vision of what you wanted. And now you have Uranus and Jupiter forming a finger of God with your chart saying, what is your vision of what right livelihood is?
Okay.
Not how you make money, but what makes you happy. You've been very happy over this past 2 years, even though you've been living on reserve, quote unquote.
I actually have.
Yeah. I know.
And I've been in Ireland most of that time. That's the other kicker. It's like I have permission to work in that country and permission to stay, and now the country's fallen on its face.
So now the country said, okay, you can't work here anymore. Go home and find another job. And what you do is you say, okay, let me find somebody who lets me go on trips to Ireland, or let me find somebody. You do have the moon in the ninth.
Yeah, my partner's there, and I'll be returning there the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking an individual venue of my creative parts of me. That's what I liked when I was a kid, and I've always liked the metaphysical, anything to do with that, but also anything to do with arts and crafts.
going.
Yeah.
It has to be something that's creative and inspiring, yeah. So let's figure out what you can do that and make money from it. Because there is a way. Your chart can do it because you've got Pluto in the second. You can make money. Pluto in the second. Make money from the creativity. Make money from the transformational work.
Okay.
Totally works. But it can't be boring or you're going to leave or you're going to stop or you're not going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The British lady has spoken, so I have to go. All right. So our show's over. We are done. Goodbye. Have a great week. Watch for the transformation this week. Big changes. Uranus stationing. Hooshoo. Mars. Lots of Mars. Don't fight. Take a vision. Get a vision and move yourself forward. This is Ann Ortley at my bright red desk signing off. Have a great week. Talk to you next week. Bye.